Blog Talk Radio.
Mandel will hold it. Now they've officially made it 57 yards.
Number 8 block kick to go the other way, too. You've got to be careful and get it up.
On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown, Auburn. An answered prayer.
And that's what it sounded like the night the Crimson Tide went down. Good evening, everybody. Vinny Moore, the Fastest 60 Minutes Sports, the special edition, the post-draft edition of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. All right, here it is. 8 o'clock Central Time in Chicago, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, live from the world's capital. Well, it's the nation's capital, but it feels like the world's capital because so much goes on here in the great big city of Washington, D.C. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. All right, here's the deal. The draft is over, right? How'd you guys do? How'd your team do? We saw how it broke out with Jadeveon Clowney going first, Greg Robinson going 2, Blake Bortles going 3. But as you all know, all of us, while there might be some lockdown studs in the early portions of it, the real heroes are the guys you get in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round. The guys that actually round out your team and become big-time players in this league. So how did you do? How'd your guys do? How'd your team do? All this and more today on the Fastest 60 Minutes Sports with yours truly. Now, check this out. There's a lot of things going on in the world of sports right now. Lots of things going on. Obviously, you've got the NBA playoffs going on. You've got the NHL playoffs going on. We'll get you all caught up on all that fun stuff. Matter of fact, let's do some of that right now. Let's get you caught up on your baseball right now, checking out the scores of the night. Again, not that so much of you are stressed over that. That's not even a motivation to give me a call yet. But if you desire to call me, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Join the conversation. We're going to talk about your team and your NFL squad and exactly how they did. Do it tonight. On the big board, in the bottom of the 7th, Baltimore is a 1-0 lead over Detroit. The Angels, a 4-2 lead in the top of the 7th over the Phillies. The Mets, 7-4 over the Yankees, bottom of 4. Toronto, 5-4 lead, bottom of the 7th. San Diego, Cincinnati, knotted at 1. Minnesota and Boston, Minnesota, 5-1 lead. KC, 1-0 in the 3rd. Pitt, a 1-0 lead, bottom of the 3rd. The Houston Astros, which seemingly suddenly have gotten hot. I don't know what the deal with that is, but they're up 3-0 on the Texas Rangers. Cubs, Cardinals in the top of the 3rd, no score. Washington, Arizona, a little later on the night, along with the White Sox, Oakland, Miami, the Dodgers, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Atlanta, San Francisco, all playing later on tonight. So, here it is, Tuesday night, and there is a Game 7 in the NHL going on. So, let's move right over from Major League Baseball right into the NHL, get you caught up on what's going on with the NHL. Oh, the fastest game on ice, as we love to call it. And what just happened there, guys? I kind of putted on the last little piece of the URL there. My fault. To the NHL. All right. We know there's a lot going on with the Rangers in Pittsburgh. 2-1 lead with about 18 minutes left in the 3rd. The Rangers shocking the hockey world, holding the very mighty and powerful and very talented Pittsburgh Penguins squad down 2-1 with 18:39 left in the 3rd. Later on tonight, Chicago tries to close out Minnesota, currently leading that series 3-2. 9 p.m. on your East Coast, 8 o'clock Chicago time. Here's the rest of the breakdown. Anaheim leads L.A. 3-2. They've come back after losing the first 2 to win 3 straight. The Bruins and Canadiens, 3-3. No one really saw that coming. They thought Boston would kind of steamroll Montreal, but Montreal has held its own and has made it very, very tough for the Bruins. I don't know that anyone has it easy, period. No one has had a cakewalk to any success in any of the playoffs, whether it's been the NHL or the NBA for that matter. Speaking of the NBA, let's get you caught up on what's going on with that. There is a current game going on with the Wizards and the Pacers. We'll get you caught up on that as well. Let's see where we're at. Let's see. Wizards were leading this game earlier. Current scores. Let's see. You probably already know that the Blazers took care of San Antonio. They at least get one game out of that series. Wizards currently blowing out the Pacers. Am I seeing that right? 91-63 in the fourth. Well, so the Wizards will live to certainly play another day, and that's in Indiana. You can't understand the Indiana Pacers. You just can't. It makes no sense whatsoever. The Pacers to be so Jekyll and Hyde that they've become. That makes absolutely no sense to me. They're down at home by virtually 28 points. My goodness. Other series in the NBA, the Clippers and OKC tied at 2 games apiece. Miami currently leading the Nets 3-1. But the Indy series, while the Pacers lead the series 3-1, this has not been easy. The Wizards have given the Pacers everything they possibly can hold. And for what it's worth, the Wizards are actually a better basketball team. I said it. I'll put my name on it. The Wizards, they may not win the series. I actually hope they do come back and win it. But they are a better team, overall team, except for the experience. They're a better overall team, and for the long term, they will be a better basketball team than Indiana. I said it. My name is Vincent Moore. I'll stick my name on that one. All right. Class of the league right now? Well, the San Antonio Spurs still look like the class of the league. Miami will be there. We'll see if Miami can get it done, winning a third in a row. So that's it for your baseball. That's it for your NBA. It's in your kind of snapshot into the NHL. All right. What do we call this one? This is the post-draft show. Why do we call it that? Because we want to go down some teams and find out exactly what they did on their NFL draft to make them either stronger or not so strong. We got some help tonight from our friends at ESPN, as usual. Our buddies Mike and Mike, who do the morning show for ESPN Radio nationwide, have been kind enough to share some of their perspectives on the draft. And I really don't know, looking at the whole draft in a composite, if any one team had a better draft than the St. Louis Rams. I mean, they felt they went after need. They got volume. Just strong. Also tonight, we'll get you some news of the weird, and we'll have some fun as well. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. That is where you'll find us tonight if you want to chat about your draft or your team. So let's take a little side wag, if you will. Is that right? Side wag? Did it come out right? All right. Well, we'll talk about it. And let's look at... Nah, it's too early for a comedy break. Way too early for that. Let's find our buddies and talk about the draft. That's why we decided to do this show. That's what we're here to talk about. So let's do the draft. As soon as we can find it. here we go. All right. So bear with me, guys. 8 past the hour, 52 left on the ride. Mike and Mike's talk with general manager of the Rams as well as we talk about the success and or potential failures of this year's NFL draft. Check it out.
All right, back to the draft. We just had Mel and McShay in here. It was their observation. And Mike, I think both of ours as well. I don't know that anybody had a better draft than the St. Louis Rams, who have put so many pieces in place. And then, of course, towards the very end of the draft on Saturday, drafting Michael Sam made it an extraordinarily noteworthy draft on top of the great players that they picked. Let's talk about all of that with Les Snead, the Rams general manager, good enough to spend some time with us this morning. I'm Mike and Mike. How are you, Les?
I'm good. Appreciate the compliments.
Listen, let's start with the first round and the first night. You have the two picks, which obviously when you make a deal like you did involving RG3, it's an enormous advantage to have two picks as high as you did. How did the board fall for you, particularly on your second pick of Donald, relative to what your expectation was?
Excellent question, and I can tell you this, you know, that was scenario number one, and we had a lot of scenarios, and by that was Donald being the 13th pick, you know, starting with that All-Star game at the Senior Bowl on through the combine. You know, Donald had a nice offseason and made a run to go before that pick, and we expected it and prepared for him to go before that pick, but when he fell there, we felt, you know what, a very, very nice compliment to an already, you know, one of our stronger assets on our football team, and that's our defensive line.
It really is incredible. You look at last year, you guys had 53 sacks between Quinn, who had the 19, and Long, who had 8.5, and then Brockers. Well, I really love Brockers when he came out, 5.5. That's 33 of the 53 sacks. And while Donald, we'll see what kind of a pass rusher he ends up being, he's certainly disruptive on that line. It was just a fantastic pick. And then what's interesting, Les, is these offensive tackles that went from Greg Robinson to Jake Matthews, Zach Martin, Taylor Lewan. To me, what's interesting is a lot of them, including, and maybe you can clue us in a little bit here on Greg Robinson, that some may need not even play left tackle right out of the gate when that's what they played in college. Possibly Greg could be a guard or other places on the line. Talk about the use of Robinson right off the bat.
You know, right now, obviously, you know, we've got Jake Long, and his rehab process off the knee is going very, very well. Fully expect him, you know, to be in the lineup opening day. You know, we won't rush anything. We won't do anything out of the ordinary. His rehab needs to go as process. Long story short, like any team, we want our best five on the field. And you've heard all the comparisons to Ogden and playing guard the first year. But I think in today's NFL, and especially in our division, front sevens are really, really good. From Arizona, San Fran, on up to Seattle. From their defensive linemen, ends, and linebackers. So having really good guards, and that could be Greg Robinson and Roger Saffold, who came back to us in the offseason, that only helps us in what Coach Fish wants to do on that front. And as you know, Coach Mike, Coach Fish likes to run the ball first, and then we'll set up the pass.
Yes, he does. Rams GM Les Snead joining Mike and Mike, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Before we get to what, you know, the groundbreaking, if we're going to want to go that far with it, of what happened Saturday. Let's go back again to the first night Thursday. You know, we always talk about players, especially in a series postseason or a big win, how quickly you have to put it away for the next game. You can be honest here. How much celebration was there after your guys' Thursday? It was pretty darn impressive, even though you had to draft on Friday and Saturday. Nice celebration Thursday night?
You know, I think it was. I can tell you this: we, Coach Fish, Kevin Dimoff, our president, and I, we stepped into the office and maybe had a nice glass of wine before we went home. And from there, though, it's hey, you know what? Stay up a little later. Make sure you know what you need to do in the second round, because in the second, third round, we only had one pick in each round. So, you know, we really were targeting LaMarcus Joyner because he was a football player that we really liked. Felt he was a complimentary piece to our defensive backfield for his versatility, his ability to play inside. So we wanted to make sure we landed that player. So the celebration, like I would call it, like a, I guess when you do the draft, it's like being in a maybe a three game series. You may win if you think you win Thursday night. You better put it away and get ready for Friday quickly.
Les Snead is with us, and then of course on Saturday came the pick of Michael Sam, which is going to get an enormous amount of attention, and now he will come and bring an enormous amount of attention. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. Through the process, what conversations did your group, those of you in your inner circle who make these decisions, have about the possibility of bringing in Sam?
Well, you know, through the whole process, when we talked about Michael Sam in our first meetings in December, in our draft meetings in April, we talked about him as a football player. We put him on the board as a football player. I think I went on record in the press conferences going, you know, on our board we may have a left defensive end, right defensive end, and we call it maybe a DPR / 3-4, and that is he may be a tweener, could fit both systems. But you know what? For us, because we like to rush the passer, he's a DPR, and we graded him, you know, from A to Z, how we felt he was going to be. So, you know, we never did. That's where it was. And then, you know, all the way from that point to making the decision, you know, at the point we were aware of the magnitude of the decision. We knew it was going to be a pivot in history, and we knew the decision at that point in time was going to be bigger than football. But at the end of the day, that was a football decision. We had four picks in the seventh round. And you know what? We felt like, hey, anytime you can get a guy who can rush the passer, disrupt, you know, the TFLs and sacks and all of that and cause fumbles speak for themselves. And we felt like, you know what, like we did with Donald, all that does is continue to help keep one of our stronger assets strong.
And certainly, Les, you know more than anybody else what this is going to bring, at least, you know, in the rookie mini camps coming up this weekend and maybe the start of camp. And I thought Bill Polian, who's been involved in the league for so many years and now works with us, gave his answer on how he would handle it when that initial media rush comes. And as you well know, a lot of the media rush is going to be people that aren't associated with football. What are your guys' plans in dealing with that first initial media rush for Michael Sam?
You know, we're going to be honest with you, we spent yesterday talking about that. We're going to have our rookies in for a press conference tomorrow. You know, we're going to divide those guys up in the, you know, Thursday night guys, Friday night guys, and then even Saturday guys, and then we'll, and you know, we definitely got to be aware that Michael Sam and the social impact of the pick needs a special place. So we'll try to divide that up, and we'll prepare for that. We'll handle it. But at the end of the day, we want to get this to become, you know, as normal for everybody as possible. Because, you know, when the timelines, you know, when we get to the end here and there's a timeline, this is going to be point A of the timeline, and history, you know, this will be normal soon, and we want to get that back to, you know, being normal as quick as possible.
Completely agree with that, and I'm sure you know along what else comes with this. If any seventh rounder on any team gets released in training camp, there's going to be no real headline about it. But you obviously knew going in, and I believe you guys took him as a football player. Heard Jeff talk about that as well. But there also is that if for whatever reason he doesn't work out, and you hope he does, and you have to release him, of what's going to come to you guys if that happens as well, correct?
That's great. And I think Jeff answered that excellently. And you know what? You have a process to pick players, and you actually have a process to make the team, and you have a process to release players. And you can't you know, this was a football decision, so you can't adjust any of those processes when making football decisions. We're charged with doing what we think is the best thing for this organization to go, you know, go take on the Seattles, the San Frans, and Arizona and get us to a place where we want to be, and that's the top of the NFC West.
Well, we know, Les, that's going to certainly get some of the headline. What you did in this draft, you had 11 picks total, and what you did, especially at the top, made a whole lot of people smile, I'm sure, starting in that building. So congratulations on an excellent draft. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thanks, Les.
Appreciate you having me.
And that is Les seeing with Mike and Mike in the morning, talking about what was an incredibly successful draft round, or draft season, if you will, for the St. Louis Rams. Okay. Our friends over at NFL Network, Bucky Brooks and those guys, have basically broken down team grades. And we want to run down the thing by as many divisions as they've got posted on NFL.com right now. They started off this time around looking at the NFC North. And, of course, you know, those of us in the Middle Earth, we love the NFC North because, of course, that's where our Bears play. You know, that's where our Lions play, our Vikings play. And the Green Bay Packers. So I won't hate them too much. It's a great organization, really is. All right. Let's see. What's Bookie's got to share with us? Division by division assessment of 2014 draft, spotlighting notable picks and handing out grades for each team. And the most notable pick this year, Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback out of Louisville, who goes to the Vikings in the first round, pick number 32. Experience major slide down the charts during the pre-draft process, but he is arguably the most pro-ready quarterback in the 2014 class. And for the record, I hate pro-ready as an adjective or a definitive toward these guys because they said that about Cade McNown back when he came out of UCLA, and it was just an absolute joke. Anyway, back to Teddy. He thrived directing an advanced version of the West Coast offense at Louisville while displaying a polished game from the pocket. That is true. Although his widely discussed pro day workout exposed concerns about his arm strength and accuracy, Bridgewater would seem to be an ideal fit for the Vikings coordinator Norv Turner and his scheme. Based on the offensive Wizards work he's done with Phillip Rivers in San Diego and a host of other signal callers in the past. With a dominant runner like Adrian Peterson and a capable set of pass catchers headlined by Greg Jennings, Cordell Patterson, and Kyle Rudolph in place to support him, Bridgewater could outplay his draft slot early in his career. Ponder's the quarterback in Minnesota right now. And if they're looking at Bridgewater to be the guy in that division, he may turn out to be very, very good in the second half of the season once he gets his legs up underneath him. But going up against what's going to be some upgraded teams in the Lions and the Bears, and the Packers are just always good in the second half of the season with major league pushes toward division titles and or preparations for the playoffs, I don't know what you really can truly expect out of one guy in his first rookie season in Minnesota. And Minnesota's lost a ton of talent. All right, so much for Minnesota. They did get a grade, but we'll get to that in a minute. Not the best draft for the Minnesota Vikings, but not a bad one. The most surprising pick of the night for that division, Eric Ebron, the tight end of North Carolina, went to the Detroit Lions in the first round, the 10th overall pick. While the addition of Ebron to an already potent Detroit attack will keep opposing defensive coordinators up a lot, the team ignored a pressing need in the secondary to make the pick. Detroit hasn't featured a Pro Bowl cornerback since 2004. That was Dre Bly. And the leaky coverage on the perimeter has been the defense's weakness for years. course, Jim Caldwell is a new coach, taking a team to the Super Bowl in the strength of a dominant offense led by a host of explosive pass catchers. Ebron is a dynamic athlete capable of exploiting the middle of the field with his combination of size, speed, and ball skills. If Caldwell can keep his young star focused, the challenge of slowing down the Lions offense with Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Reggie Bush, Joik Bell, Brandon Pettigrew, and Ebron will loom large for every foe on the schedule. Paper, the Lions are very, very good, but that has to manifest itself in a manner that allows you to actually win ball games. How do you have Joik Bell, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Reggie Bush, Brandon Pettigrew, and run the risk of going 8-8? Because that's what they're looking at right now. They're blowing off the needs, all right? They've lost players on defense. They don't have good corners. And in an offensive-minded division like the NFC North with a Green Bay, with the second most potent offense in the NFL in the Chicago Bears, it's going to be some track meets. Let's see. Biggest steal, according to Bucky Brooks, Kadeem Carey, the running back out of Arizona who went to the Bears in the fourth round, pick number 117. It's crazy to think that a runner who eclipsed 3,800 rushing yards over the past season, thanks to 22 100-yard games, would be knocked down the draft boards due to a pedestrian time in the 40-yard dash at 4.7 seconds. But that was the case with Carey. Regardless, the film suggests that the Arizona standout is a punishing runner with division, quickness, and physicality to thrive as a feature back in the NFL. Additionally, Carey is an underrated pass catcher out of the backfield who can run every route in the book. Given Coach Mark Trestman's reputation for designing effective schemes around impact players, Carey could shock observers with his production as a situational back. Spelling, Matt Forte. Let's go down to team grades. Let's see, who's the worst? Of course they are. Well, that's not the worst. Let's see, who's the worst? The Detroit Lions are the worst. They get a B- for the grade. Now, that's the worst. That's not bad. There's no doubt that Caldwell inherited a talented roster in Detroit, but the team needs a handful of crucial pieces to really push it over the top. While most expected GM Martin Mayhew has been a top pick on a cover corner, he instead added a Pro Bowl caliber tight end in Ebron and a versatile linebacker in Kyle Van Noy. Upgrading the athleticism on both sides of the ball, Travis Swanson will serve as an apprentice for a year before taking on the pivotal Dominic Raiola. I don't know what that is. All right, anyway. Cornerback Nevin Lawson and defensive backs Caron Reed, both selected on day three, are development prospects with intriguing potential. Most importantly, they add depth to the position of need. B- for your Detroit Lions. The Green Bay Packers. All right, GM Ted Thompson strictly adheres to the premise of taking the best player available. He has executed this masterfully throughout his tenure in Green Bay. Which is why the Packers have consistently contended in the NFC. And last week, for good measure, he just happened to address the team's biggest areas of need. Entering the draft, Green Bay appeared to be lacking some oomph at safety and linebacker, with additional depth concerns in the receiving corps. Well, safety Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and outside linebacker Carl Bradford will upgrade the defense with their collective speed and athleticism. While the additions of Devontae Adams, Jared Abrideris, and Jeff Janis give the Packers a young set of pass catchers to develop, Adams is a big-bodied player with a game that is eerily similar to that of free agent departee James Jones. How fitting. Meanwhile, Abrideris and Janis are the kind of development prospects who routinely become key contributors in Mike McCarthy's offense. Green Bay Packers get a B+. The Minnesota Vikings. Always challenging to get new head coach on the same page with an established general manager, but based on Minnesota's draft success, it appears that the marriage between Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman is off to a fine start. The Vikings walked away with a talented-rich haul, securing a number of blue-chip prospects at bargain rates. Number 9 overall pick, Anthony Barr, is a disruptive force with athleticism and length to become a Pro Bowl-caliber pass rusher early in his career. Despite limited experience on the defensive side of the ball, the former UCLA running back has all the traits of defensive coordinators covet in edge players. Bridgewater slid down the charts due to concerns about his arm strength and size, but his college tape is spectacular, and his game ideally suits Turner's system. If he plays to his potential, Bridgewater could make this draft class a special one for the Vikes faithfully. And in the number of value picks in the defensive end, Scott Crichton, cornerback Antoine Exum, and offensive guard David Yankee, it's clear Minnesota is poised to bounce back with him in a major way in 2014. To play the game on the field, not on paper. Minnesota gets a B+. Then there's the Chicago Bears. Defense lost its bite in 2013, ranking 30th out of the total defensive spectrum of 32 teams. But the future looks much brighter with GM Phil Emery restocking the lineup and a number of intriguing defenders. Kyle Fuller, the number 14 pick, gives Chicago a versatile cover corner with the potential to play inside or outside in nickel situations. Day two selections of Eagle Ferguson and Will Sutton the imposing defensive tackles with size, strength, and athleticism to excel in the Bears 4-3. Sutton, in particular, is a dynamic three technique with a terrific initial quickness. When he has his weight under control on offense, the addition of Carey will further allow Chicago to employ a ball control strategy when needed. Chicago Bears get a B. Wah, 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 wah. Now, for those of you who are true Bear fans, it's a B. All right? Don't feel bad at all. You still have, again, they should have the signs out to say, in Mark Trestman, we trust, because that's ultimately how this thing's going to work. Cutler's going to be Cutler. I don't have much faith in the Lions, even though I love Jim Caldwell. I love him as the head coach. I do not have faith in the Lions in terms of their defense. I just think they really lost too much. They're going to be in shootouts on a weekly basis, and Matthew Stafford's probably going to lead the league in picks ahead of one Jay Cutler. Next to that, Green Bay is Green Bay. When you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've always got a chance to win. They need to address some talent on defense and through free agency. They need some depth there. And without that, all it's going to take is one Clay Matthews injury to open up the floodgates against that porous D. All right? So that is your love for the NFC North. All right? Now, let me take this moment to get this out of the way now, because I know there are those people out here who are a little bit anxious. Maybe they've got some perspectives and things they might want to say or share. How do I say this? Okay. You guys have known me on this air, this internet airway for several years, and I like to think that I've always been fair, but more importantly, I've always been honest. Okay. Whatever shortcomings I've had. Okay. But here's the deal. I'm glad the Rams drafted Michael Sam, and I hope he turns out to be one hell of a football player. I could care less about his choice in life or his orientation. I don't care. What I care about is whether or not he can make the Rams a better football team. That's all that matters. So for those of you who took some type of offense to when he got called, the kissing of his boyfriend or whatever, look, if a network wants to seize the opportunity to get more viewers to see two men kiss, well, they can do whatever the heck they want. I'm not offended. I don't care. All I care about is if and when he makes the team. And I say if and when because he's still a seventh-round draft pick. There's no guarantee he's making this team. He makes the Rams. He goes out there on that first week. He's got to be prepared to know what's about to come in terms of whatever cat calls or whatever things are going to come from some of those fans, maybe not as progressive as some others. Maybe it's not as welcoming as others. That's not to say that he doesn't turn into one heck of a football player later down the line. But he hasn't even laced up his shoe yet. The Rams took him. He's the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Whatever his orientation, it is what it is. Let's see the boy play football. If he plays well, good for him, good for the Rams. If he's terrible, well, guess what? He will not be on that squad long, all right? So you know that going in, all right? It matters not to the true football fan whether or not this kid, his orientation is on the forefront of everything you see and read. It does not matter. What matters is, can he play the game at the highest level? Can he make the St. Louis Rams a better football team? We're going to find out soon enough. Jeff Fisher's a tough-nosed guy. I like Jeff Fisher. I liked him when he was a Bear back in the 80s. I love him as a head coach. He's a tough guy, but more importantly, he's fair. And Michael Sam will have every opportunity to prove himself on the football field, which is where it should be proven, and nowhere else. All right? Let's move on. So, how did your team do? So, the Vikings went quarterback. I don't mean to kind of – I'm not going to belabor this whole thing, but, man, there were some opportunities out here. The best team – I'm sorry, The best division The best division in football. There are many who will say it is the NFC West. And you know what? They're probably very, very right. FYI, Joe Hayden signs a 5-year deal, $68 million extension with the Browns. I don't know where they're going to find the money, but hey, good for them. They can. I think the NFC West, by far, has to be the best. It just does. Take a good look at who you've got playing there. You have your San Francisco 49ers. You have the Seattle Seahawks. You have the Arizona Cardinals, a 10-6 Arizona Cardinal team. And you have the San Francisco 49ers. Rams, Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the best division in football. You don't want to play anyone in that division. All of them can beat you. And what's scary is they can come to your place and beat you. None of them seem to have a deficiency too much when they have to travel. It's just a fact. All right? Cardinals went 10-6, didn't make the playoffs last year, but scared a whole lot of people who actually went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. The Niners, I'm not sure what to make of the Niners. I mean, we know Harbaugh's a tough guy. He's a great head coach. With the exception of the media mess that will become of the St. Louis Rams at some point during the season, I actually like the Rams and the Cardinals to make a lot of noise next year. Anyway, within the next couple of days, you'll see grades and breakdowns of the NFC South and the NFC East. Here in Washington, D.C., of course, all the buzz is about the signing of DeSean Jackson as the second, the number two, right? It's kind of weird to say it, but the number two receiver. But let's go down Washington's draft. They didn't have a first-round pick because of all the dealings to get RG3. But they get Trent Murphy, the outside linebacker, in round two. Strong pick. Moses Morgan, the offensive tackle, love him. Spencer Long in pick number 14 in round three, the guard. Then they go on the court. They go cornerback, Bashaud Breeland. Then they get, I'm not sure why they need a wide receiver in the fifth round, but Ryan Grant was a great pick if he can stay healthy. Lace Seastrunk, the running back. He's gonna struggle to make the team. Ted Boyser, the tight end, better blocker than receiver, and Zach Hawker, a kicker, in the seventh round. All right, Washington. I don't know how you feel about your draft picks, but they're all yours, so enjoy them. Yeah, all yours. All right, notwithstanding all that, let's give them a grade for the sake of not having anything else to do on a quiet night when we're supposed to be watching reruns of old shows. Let's, I could see the Redskins draft. That's probably a B. That's probably B. If they don't go after the running back, Lace Seastrunk, for depth, it actually might be a B plus. I mean, love to have seen him get another. You got one tackle, one guard, and you needed some more depth there. You easily could have gotten another guard or tackle. I don't know that you needed, well, unless you think Bashaud Breeland is somehow going to be a shutdown corner, I'm not sure that was the best value for what your team needed. Anyway, enough said. Now all of a sudden, after saying that he hasn't had any talks about possibly being traded, Kirk Cousins now wants out. No, that's not right. Reverse the dial. The backup passer is, in fact, trade bait. Okay, here you go. So Kirk Cousins is now trade bait. But what are you going to get for him? If you're not going to go out there and get another big tackle, another guard, why let the guy go? He's going to learn your offense. Jay Gruden's going to coach him up as he should be. By the way, Jay Gruden, great, great potential head coach. Look for him to do big things in Washington. I just hope they give him the time to do it. It may not happen the first year. I hope they're not looking for playoffs this year, but they should compete for the division and certainly may win the division. And if they do, well, guess what? You've accomplished more than I think a lot of us anticipate. We expect the Redskins to be very, very competitive this year. A lot of the defensive pieces intact, why not? Rakpo is back. He's healthy now. Hazlitt's still your coordinator. You've got a lot of good things in it with you know, it's funny. It's gained by loss, I guess. It's gained by transition. It's so much that I've actually forgotten the old coach Shanahan. With the departure of Shanahan, this defense got better. It's that simple. They simply got better. Hands off the defense. You know, Mike's an offensive-minded guy trying to play with the defense, and I think he actually set the Redskins back last year on D. They gave up way too many points, and they just didn't need to have it. Okay, they were decent against the run. They were fifth against the run last year. 16 against the pass, and again, too many red zone opportunities for opponents, only putting up basically 20 points a game every week. In this league today, in the passing league, with all the high-powered offenses, you got to score better than that. It's all just do it. So we look for big things out of the Redskins. All right. Now, I'm not going to hate on the Dallas Cowboys, and I know a lot of my friends will tell you that I've been hating on the Cowboys all week long. That's not really true. Well, no, it's not true at all. What's my issue with the Dallas Cowboys? Well, it's unfortunately, owners own, coaches coach, players play. If you're an owner, be an owner, sit up there in your booth and enjoy it, okay? Don't try to coach. Don't try to do more than you need to do, okay? And unfortunately, Jerry Jones hasn't got the memo. He has not gotten the memo yet. I see a lot of articles being written right now, and those focusing on the NFC East all loved what the Giants did. Look, the Giants are certainly they improved, but let's face it, they were so bad last year that don't expect much out of the Giants here. And I know my family, Tillman, and those guys don't want to hear that, but that's just a fact. Don't expect too much out of your boys. All right, just don't. I'd hate to see you get your feelings hurt. I really would. Giants, middle of the road at best. They'll be lucky if they go 8-8. I said it, I stick by it. That's right, Vinny Moore said it. The Giants will go 8-8. Notwithstanding all that, the Dallas Cowboys, 8-8 seemingly all the time. I'll give them one more game this year. I see the Dallas Cowboys maybe getting a ninth win. I think the class of this division may actually be right here in Washington, D.C. this year, just because there's experience. They've sniffed it once. They're going to play significantly more stable than they have in the past. I think Gruden's going to add some impact to what RG3 can do. He's healthy, and that is by far the biggest thing going for him. He's healthy. He is healthy. All right, now, 937 pass yard. Let me take this moment out to say congratulations. And I will send this audio over to his family. Bruce Gaston, a graduate of St. Rita High School and a four-year student at Purdue University, graduated. He didn't get drafted. His name wasn't called that draft name. But today, signs with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, it may not be a big deal to those of you who know how this thing works, but anytime you get an organization in a National Football League that offers you a contract, you've arrived, my friend. I don't care if you get cut in the second day of cuts, third day of cuts, whatever. You're there. And I know Bruce has a motor. He's going to work hard. He's going to go there. He's going to be humble. And he's going to be thankful for every opportunity he's got. I'm excited for St. Rita's own Bruce Gaston, who today signed with the Arizona Cardinals. God bless you, man. All of us here at the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports are rooting for you. We will be watching. We will be cheering. We'll be rooting. For those of us who are Cardinal fans anyway, Arizona Cardinal fans anyway, you've just given us another reason to kind of stick and stay. All right, so we're excited. Congratulations to Bruce and his family across the board. I saw the pictures of him, and I believe that was his grandmother today. Family just excited. And it wasn't as if, for those of us who followed Bruce through all the years at Purdue coming out of St. Rita, we're just happy for you, man. We're just excited for the opportunity for you. And I don't think we're done. For those of you NIU fans, Jordan Lynch fans, Jordan Lynch signed with the Chicago Bears to be a running back. Now, just so you know, Jordan Lynch is not slow. He's shifty. He's quick. He's got great vision. And unusually a burst. So don't be surprised if you see Jordan Lynch actually make the Bears. Now, I don't think he's going to spell Matt Forte much at all, but I think the Bears have some depth and some talent there. But I could also see Jordan Lynch working with Jay Cutler and learning some things. And I think if Mark Trestman sees what Jordan Lynch is capable of and doing some due diligence, he may find an opportunity that he's got a brand new backup in that kid, and you just never know. You just never know. So I'm excited for Jordan Lynch. Congratulations to him and his family. He went to Mount Carmel High School and finished, I believe he finished, four years at NIU? Nice. All right. So what's to become of New England's backup, Jimmy Garoppolo, out of East Illinois University? Talented kid, big arm. He's not going to see the field unless Brady gets hurt. You already know this. But he's going to impress. Can make all the throws. He's a big kid. He's built a lot like Brady. His arm actually may be a little stronger. But the accuracy for Tom Brady is what makes him Tom Brady. And I would hope that Garoppolo sits there, much like Aaron Rodgers did, and just learns. Sit and learn, sit and learn, sit and learn. You're going to be in a beautiful situation where you've got Belichick, you've got Brady to learn from. It's a beautiful thing. Absolutely. All right. Let's see. 40 minutes after the hour. We promised you guys we'd do News of the Weird, so I'll tell you what. Let's see if we can find some News of the Weird, all right? Do we want to do a comedy break? We can do a comedy break. All right. We'll do two things. We'll do an audio break with some John Legend for you, and we'll also do I guess we should pay one bill. We'll do one commercial, I guess. It's midweek night. Didn't really want to do a commercial tonight, but who cares? You know what? I've been rattle-trapping for the last 37, 40 minutes. We'll find some news of the week for you. All right, we'll do some comedy. Who do you want to hear tonight? Maybe you have someone you want to hear. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. Let's do some Jamie Foxx tonight. We'll do some Jamie Foxx for the comedy and the music of John Legend. How about that? All right. We'll get that going. This will be John Legend. After that, we'll have a little comedy. Then we'll do the news of the weird. All right. Everybody good? All minds are clear? Let's rock. Of the weird. Wow. That always gets me. All right. Whoever said money can't buy your friends clearly hasn't been on the internet recently. Wrote the New York Times in April, pointing to the various social media support services that create online superstars by augmenting one's Facebook friends, Twitter followers, and Instagram likes. The reporter described how by paying a company $5, for example, he immediately acquired 4,000 friends, and had he splurged for $3,700, could have had a million on his Instagram photo account. Such services have been around for 2 years, but earlier, cruder versions, sometimes just unmonitored email addresses, are now sophisticated bots. Groups of computer code created on algorithm farms in India and elsewhere that behave on social media with original messaging. Often drivel, wrote the Times, as if they were real people. New York Times, 4/21/2014. Number two, the entrepreneurial spirit. We all scream. In April, Häagen-Dazs announced it will introduce two new ice creams, thankfully only in Japan. Carrot orange with bits of pulp and peel, and tomato cherry made from tomato paste. A South Wales ice cream maker, Lick Me, I'm Delicious, announced in April that it has perfected an ice cream containing about 25 milligrams of Viagra per scoop. Though it is not yet generally available, Los Angeles Times, 4/21/24, they're putting Viagra in your ice cream. Viagra in your ice cream. Let me say that again. They're putting Viagra in your ice cream. They're putting Viagra in your ice cream.
The Fast of 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird.
Seriously? Wow. All right. Spanning the globe. To all my friends around this world, I love you and there's absolutely nothing you can do about this. I need to send out some highs and how are yous to a bunch of amazing people. So, from the gamuts of the northern regions of this North America, to the friends up in Red Deer and Calgary, I love you guys and nothing you can do about it. To the friends in New York, hey. To the friends in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and surrounding areas, how you doing? To the friends down there in Arkansas and Mississippi, hey. All right. And to the most talented people I know in the city, in the big city of Chicago with big shoulders, I love you guys. There's nothing you can do about it. I just want to see you smile, as you all know. 46 past the hour, 14 left on the ride. Maybe you've got a draft team. We'll talk about it. If we don't talk about it today, we'll talk about it soon enough. 619-639-4747 again. 619-639-4747 if you want to talk about your favorite team. We're going to wind it down. Let's see. We've got some new clips here. We promised you guys some comedy, didn't we? We did. We promised you some comedy. Let us not chintz on that, all right? We love you, and we want to make sure we're true to the game. So, who did we say we're doing tonight? I said we're doing Jamie Foxx. All right, let's get Jamie Foxx queued up, and let's rock and roll. Jamie Foxx, probably on relationships.
Relationships, do you love them or do you hate them? I hate them. Hate relationships. Don't you hate it, fellas, when you get involved with somebody and then you trip? You fall in love what you don't anticipate doing? And you ever get jealous? Don't jealousy make you do some silly shit? You ever get jealous and the person ain't even with you? You just see somebody that you think she might like? You're like, look at this motherfucker working out. Looking all good. What's up, Jamie? Fuck you, man. Don't be looking at my girl either. Your girl ain't with you. She with me in spirit. Or you ever just have a relationship where you just get tired of each other? Same old thing. You're like, damn, I can't figure out what's going on with him. I can't figure out what's going on with her. And you're just arguing. That's when you can't even pronounce it. We just arguing. I say it's black. You say it's white. You say it's red. I say it's blue. We just don't get along. And then sometimes they just walk in and you just... You just want to say, fuck you. Oh, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. That's how Bilal would do it. Fuck you, church at it. You ever hear that dude with that voice? Glory. Sound like he broke two ribs. That's the offering right there.
Am I right? They always play. Y'all reached in y'all pocket when I did it, didn't you? And they come right out of preaching. That's how they get you to give. They come right out of preaching and go right into that. God is good. God is great. Ah! Reach in your pocket to give me all your money, please. I love you too. The thing about it is, like, my grandmother raised me in church. That's why I know I'm going to be all right. And I got some people from my hometown right in here tonight from Terrell, Texas. They keep me grounded. That's what these people need. When I was talking all that stuff, they don't have nobody in their family or somebody to just, you know, tell them what they need to do. I got somebody. Yeah, man. My grandmother's 94 years old.
Keep on living, keep on living.
But the thing about it, when I had, you know, people over at the house, like girls and stuff, I couldn't sing no worldly songs. They had to be spiritual. Or it had to be off of TV. So what I would do is, I had a girl over, I would switch it up. Take a song off of TV and make it sound good enough to make love to. Even if the song was, here's a story. Of a lovely lady, oh, who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like the mother. The youngest one in color. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow. How you doing? How you doing? And they knew they were much more than a house. Well, it's true, it must somehow form a family. How you play? That's the way we overcame the Brady Bunch. Break it down like Babyface. Because, you know, Babyface, you break it down like, that's the way the wheel became the pretty bird. And I love the big bunch of big bunch of feet. Don't lift the big bird. Or you could break it down like Luther, okay. Because, you know, Luther break it down like, Brady Bunch, I say. Brady Bunch, it's driving me crazy to think that Miss Brady. Or what if it was Prince? Because, you know, Prince would break it down like, I
That is the great Jamie Foxx on the Fastest 6 Minute Sports. Appreciate the comedy break. Just under 5 left in the ride today. 55 past the hours, we begin to shut it down on an amazingly calm and quiet night in sports. For those of us who are hockey fans, it was a shock this evening. The Rangers win against the Penguins. Did not see that coming. 2-1 closes out that series. The Rangers eliminate the Penguins, winning that series 4-3. That's in Pittsburgh. I appreciate the Pittsburgh Penguins, that Penguins thinking their fans. You have to wonder what'll be next for that organization. Do they make major league changes? Do they? I mean, with all that talent, is the coach now on the hot seat? I would venture he probably is. And the other game going on at Chicago, a 1-0 lead over Minnesota at the first intermission. Again, the Blackhawks, one of the most dominant teams when it is an elimination game. They currently lead that series 3-2. I really don't know what to say about the Penguins. I mean, this is 2 years in a row that I expected them to do big things, and they just have fallen short. Now, in the Eastern Conference, you got Boston, Montreal, and the Rangers left. Now, obviously, the Rangers will get the winner of Boston-Montreal, and that series is kind of – I would have expected Pittsburgh to play Boston, maybe Boston to win that series. That I could see coming. I did not see the Rangers and what could be potentially the Rangers in Montreal. For what it's worth, if I'm prognosticating, the talent looks like it's in the West with not so much with the Wild, but certainly with the Blackhawks, the Ducks, and the Kings. Yeah, that's just some good stuff going on in the world of sports and hockey right now. But, again, kudos to the New York Rangers. Congratulations on closing out one of the most talented squads. Yet to show up, I guess, is the best way I want to put it, on ice. I did not see that coming. And, of course, for those of us in Middle Earth, we're still rooting for our Blackhawks to handle business tonight, again, at the first intermission leading 1-0. All right, let me focus on something right now. I have friends all over this wonderful nation, and I love you all. We don't always see eye to eye, and sometimes we bump heads because that's what friends do. And, yes, there are times when you guys unfriend me or I'll unfriend you for whatever the case may be. But deep down inside, when things go crazy, things go awry, when something hits the fan, please know that I'm always here, all right? And for those of you that have my communication information, how to get a hold of me, use it. I haven't changed that much that I still wanted to at least listen to whatever's going on with you. Why? Because I care about you, all right? We may not be the best of friends for whatever the situation, the circumstances, but I care. And I'm still wrapped in that 51-year-old frame that still loves you. And as always, to all my fans all over this world, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. To my family, Richland Park, I'll see you soon. To my family all over this world, I hope to see all of you very, very soon. Whether it's in radio, TV, internet, or otherwise, just know that I love you. I'm thinking about you. And we'll see you this weekend only on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. By the way, we will be doing some sideshows about everything from intimacy, relationships, and how to treat each other a little kinder. Look forward to all that all soon. We'll see you next time. Love you guys. Good night.